two real estate mistakes to avoid on this episode of Unlock Your Wealth Today, Your Life Fully Invested. Welcome to Unlock Your Wealth Today, Your Life Fully Invested. I'm your purveyor of prosperity and host, Heather Wagenhals. And on this episode, I'm making success simple by sharing two real estate mistakes you must avoid if you want to be successful with real estate. Interest rates are at historic lows right now, and I'm receiving tons of viewer emails as well as friends and colleagues asking me about whether or not this is a good time to buy, whether or not we should be investing. And I thought I would clarify a few things because every time I'm asked these questions, and specifically questions about real estate and home ownership, that are the wrong questions. People are focusing on the wrong things when it comes to real estate, and we need to clarify these things and make sure that we're asking the right questions if we want to be successful when holding real estate. And I'm using specific languaging for a reason. So we have two real forms of holding real estate in my mind. The first way is as home ownership, which can be primary residence or a secondary home, but ones that we use. We want to kind of define home ownership as a place where we live and use them, whether it's full-time or not. We want to, for the purposes of this discussion, and when we talk about building wealth through real estate, we want to make sure that we're clarifying home ownership as a use property for yourself and your family members is different than real estate as an investment. I want to separate these two, and there's a reason for that, because real estate investment is an investment, and it's driven by two factors. It's capital appreciation and it's cash flow on certain types of properties, depending on how you are investing in real estate. And this is really clear. When we invest in real estate, we are buying property for the purposes of profiting in those two ways, either capital appreciation, cash flow, or hopefully both, okay? When we buy a home, we're buying it for different reasons. We're not buying it for profit, although this is where people start to go sideways. And this is one of my two points, is home ownership is not a real estate investment. We have to be clear on this. People say, what do you mean? It is the single largest financial commitment a person or family can make, but it should not be mistaken with real estate investment. And then I'm going to show you or in a minute why that is and where we get derailed when we think of our primary residence, the place that we live, the place that we start or grow our families, is not an investment in the financial sense. It's an investment in security, memories, a foundation for gathering. There's a myriad reasons that we buy home ownership, but investment should never be one of those thoughts. And there's a couple of reasons why. When we look at home ownership from the perspective of an investment, okay, when we live there, we're not charging our spouse or our children rent, okay? So we're not generating income. So there's one of the two legs of a real estate investment missing, okay? Additionally, when we view home ownership as an investment, we use it as a crutch or an excuse to overspend when improving our property under the auspices that, oh, I'll get my money back someday. That's not why you invest in real estate. When you invest in real estate, you look at it from a financial perspective. You're not looking at it from these other emotional perspectives, unless we're talking about outcomes. Because when we profit in real estate, we can fulfill outcomes like putting our children through college by creating a nest egg for ourselves or creating cash flow for life now. Okay. And when we look at real estate as an investment and we look at making property improvements and maintenance on properties, we don't go nuts. We try to stay within certain guidelines. So we never want to be the highest valued property in a community, and we don't necessarily want to be the lowest one either. But if we're at the lowest end of the property value perspective to the middle end, we benefit from those folks that over improve those properties and achieve a higher dollar. But when we're talking about maximizing an investment, we're not looking at it from an emotional perspective. But when we have home ownership and we're thinking about, oh, I want to get a pool for my family. So we don't just get the bargain basement pool that suffices, that gets us wet, that allows us to gather, create community, and have memories that are made around this pool. No, we want the one that mimics the resort that we went to 2 years ago with water slides and climbing rocks and all sorts of stuff. And so we overspend on things like the pool, our kitchen renovations, our baths, that's the sort of stuff. And then we go to liquidate the property because let's say we get a job transfer and we have to move somewhere else. We have to sell this property. And now we're mad or upset or frustrated because we can't get the value out of it. Well, you bought the property with the intent of living there. And so when you make improvements to your primary residence, you fundamentally have to look at it differently. It's not about creating value as if we would look at it as a real estate investment. We need to look at it for not the financial value or its extrinsic value, but we need to look at it as the intrinsic value. I'm not saying don't build that resort style pool and spa in your yard, but understand why you're doing it, because of the intrinsic value that it's creating, the memories that you're capturing, the opportunity to use it every day, your personal enjoyment and satisfaction versus not having it. And we have to look at it from that way, and we have to spend the money under that viewpoint. Because if we look at it from a return, and if we're truly looking at it as an investment, we would never spend that money on that spot. So I'm not saying don't do it. It's okay to spend whatever you want. But when it comes time to liquidate the property, understand why you're not getting that value, because you've overimproved for your neighborhood. Okay, if nobody else has those in your neighborhood and now you're trying to sell it and get the value out of it, it's not going to happen. So when you spend the money for homeownership and for improving the value and the quality of the property, it's about your personal enjoyment and use. And don't look at it as a financial return on investment, because you're going to miss out. And so that's the one huge mistake people make with home ownership, is over improving under the auspices of real estate investment, of which it's not. So if you know out front that, hey, I'm spending this because I want it to look fabulous while I'm here, then knock yourself out. I do that. I over improve my properties where I am living, and I do it for that reason, for satisfaction, not because I expect to get the money back on the other side, because you won't. It's just the way it is. So move forward with homeownership in that perspective. The second mistake you need to avoid when it comes to homeownership is actually identifying how much to spend on the property itself. So we're talking about financing specifically and qualifying for the mortgage. Right now, with rates so low, your affordability is much higher than it may traditionally be. So that kind of moves us over, because again, we're talking about homeownership, not real estate investment. It moves us into that, oh, well, I want the bigger property. I can spread out more. I can do this. I can entertain, blah, blah, blah. But the only cost is not the cost of acquisition. And we're failing to identify a few things. So the bigger the property, the more maintenance. You're going to have higher utility expenses. So when you have that fabulous landscape put in and now it's watering, your water bill can be astronomical compared to if you did a xeriscape like what we do here in Arizona, where we do mostly dry vegetation that's native to Arizona. So it can survive without having to be actively watered. But so this is a consideration that people forget when they buy larger properties. Now, it might be so large and you may be physically unable, or like because you're physically unable to do it, or you might just be working so hard that you don't have the time to maintain your property, but that doesn't change the fact that it needs to be maintained. So you have to now hire people to do the maintenance, okay? So whether that's landscaping or improvements, general maintenance, changing filters, that sort of stuff, you know, or, you know, seasonal trimming, things like that. All of these things add up that we don't think about when we're considering these larger properties. And what that's going to do is that's going to put a financial burden on us because that's going to impair our ability to live our lives. And so instead of this blessing, our home becomes a burden. And that's what we want to avoid. Another consideration that people don't make is, you know, higher costs on a larger property. But we're looking at affordability from the wrong ratio. Okay, people look at our mortgage payment in a relationship to our income. But that's not how we need to look at it. We need to look at our lifestyle. It needs to be payment to lifestyle because you can afford usually a lot more. But do we want to max out our affordability? We need to take into consideration, am I just a homebody? Is that all I do is stay at home? And I can tell you that people that I know that regularly stay at home, never go anywhere through this pandemic, are now jonesing to get out. So is this going to be your central part of your life? Are you going to raise your family there? Are you going to entertain there? Is this your life? Because you have to look at what you do currently, because behavior is consistent over time. And so whatever you do now, you're going to do then in the future, likely, although we can't predict the future, there's likely outcomes we can expect. And we're going to do the same thing that we do in this new property. So if you're a homebody, maxing out your affordability might make sense. However, what if you're an adventure seeker? What if you're a nomad and you like to travel? Whether it's regular small weekend getaways throughout your home state, or maybe you're wanting to be roaming a little bit more restlessly around the world. Okay, this costs what? Money, all right? And if we don't take into account our lifestyle, we could unnecessarily burden ourselves with a home that we can never leave. And if we're nomadic by nature, buying the most home that we can afford is counterintuitive, because now we're not going to be living our lives with our sights set on the next adventure, because now we can't afford it. And people are saying, well, I've heard the thing, well, Heather, how do I quantify my lifestyle, like in a dollar amount? Because, you know, like my lifestyle is a subjective thing. It is subjective, but it is also quantifiable. And the best way is to take a look at what you've previously spent. Again, behavior is a really good indicator. So what have you been your travel expenditures over the past year? Okay, if you use any types of tax software or any type of budgeting software, you'll be able to determine this pretty easy, because it usually filters itself, if you haven't actively done so, into like a travel category. Or maybe you dine out a lot. Maybe dining out is your thing and you like to have fine wines, expensive alcoholic beverages, incredible food, food experiences where you're dining and it's a pricey meal, and maybe you like to do that often. That's great. You should be able to follow your passions, but you have to also, like we talk about, you know, when we do our review, revise, and recommit key in our Keys to Riches financial philosophy, we need to keep one eye on the prize, meaning looking at our goals, and one eye on the process. And so by doing this, this will allow us to create the appropriate affordability, because then we can take that annualized amount that we're spending and treat it like we would treat any of our other tiered savings that we learn in our fourth key, knowledge is power, not knowing is powerful. And we can add it to our investment dollars, because we're investing in our happiness if we look at it that way. And so now that's going to reduce our affordability, because we need to be spending that money. We need to be socking it away. So we have this monthly number that we can reduce our income by when we go to qualify and calculate this mortgage payment and buy something that's more in line with our lifestyle goals. That's what we need to be thinking about when we buy a house. It's not general affordability. How much do I qualify for? Wrong question. It's what do I qualify for that allows me to obtain this new property and maintain or grow my lifestyle? Those are the right questions to be asking. And when we don't ask those questions, that's when we get into trouble and we get overburdened and we're unnecessarily straining ourselves by putting ourselves at risk financially with our credit worthiness. And these things can have ramifications for years when we make mistakes doing this. So when we're thinking about home ownership, and if that's something that you've been considering, like many other viewers, you want to make sure that you're looking at it properly. If it's home ownership, understand what you're spending your money on and don't look at it like an investment. If it is not generating cash flow and you're the one that's building the capital appreciation, it's not an investment. It's only an investment if others build your wealth in real estate. So we need to look at it for what it is and understand that we're going to make financial decisions differently under the umbrella of home ownership versus the umbrella of real estate investment. And as long as we keep those separate and we qualify our affordability based on lifestyle as opposed to income alone, you will succeed at real estate because you will be able to have that home and enjoy your life as well. So our fast facts for today are pretty simple. So make sure that you understand that home ownership is not a real estate investment. Only assets that generate cash flow and capital are considered real estate investments. And second, then we also want to make sure that we are qualifying for our property not based on the affordability of income alone. We're also looking at lifestyle. Now, before we go, I have a special offer for you. I'm super excited. You have seen me wear them in some of my more candid photos or informal photos, but whether we like it or not, mask regulation is here. And if you've been a regular viewer, then you are familiar with the Way of the Renaissance Man, our number one top ranked investment analyst here, Jim Woods. And he now has his Renaissance Man masks available. Now, not only are they available, he's got them on his website that he just launched his store, and they are regularly $20, but he's got them marked down to $14.99. But because he is our financial GPS here at the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation, he is offering another 20% off just for Unlock Your Wealth fans. All you have to do is visit wayoftherenaissanceman.com/store. And when you hit the checkout, be sure to enter the promo code UNLOCK20. I'm so excited because these are the best masks. And what's really cool is if you wanted to add the optional N95 insert, you can buy those separately and have an added level of protection. So whether you like them or not, we're required to wear them now. So get your Renaissance Man mask and sport your Renaissance style by visiting wayoftherenaissanceman.com/store. And remember to use promo code UNLOCK20 to save 20% off your entire purchases over there. And that's just for Unlock Your Wealth fans. So thank you so much for stopping by and joining me on today's episode. If you have a question, you are welcome to leave him in the comments, or please DM me directly on Instagram at Unlock Your Wealth, or if you're on Facebook at Unlock Your Wealth TV, or wherever you happen to be viewing this show. I'm so glad you joined us for more great resources and tools to help you overcome your personal and professional challenges to get out of debt, achieve financial freedom, and live the life of your dreams right now today. Then just visit unlockyourwealthtoday.com. You'll find incredible interviews and all sorts of good things to help you prosper. I'm Heather Wagenhals. Thanks so much for stopping by. Now go out and unlock your wealth today.
UnlockYourWealthToday.com is produced by Heather Wagenhals and the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation. UnlockYourWealthToday.com and its affiliates are copyrighted 2018 with all rights reserved. For more information on the Keys to Riches Financial Wellness Series, please visit our website at www.unlockyourwealthtoday.com.
No time to read the best-selling books for your business or industry? What if I told you you could enjoy the best and most meaningful parts of a book in about 12 minutes? Believe me, I'm Heather Wagenhals, and I'm making success simple by helping you learn on the go just like I do with text, audio, and video summaries from your favorite best-selling books, and do it on the fly in less than 12 minutes with Steve Cunningham and read it for me. Join tens of thousands of leaders around the world, including yours truly, who use Read It For Me to learn the biggest ideas from the world's best leadership, sales, marketing, and personal development books in less than 12 minutes. All you have to do to begin reading best-selling books and enjoying your special rate for Unlock Your Wealth fans is visit unlockyourwealth.com/readitforme or click on the link somewhere in this post. Learn on the go with text, audio, and video summaries from your favorite best-selling books and do it on the fly in less than 12 minutes. Visit unlockyourwealth.com/readitforme and start your 12-minute reading journey now.